The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What the Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. Dr. Rodney Stark is a world-renowned sociologist, and he recently wrote a book called The Rise of Christianity. And he did a study of historical documents in order to trace the rise of Christianity in the first few centuries. And now Dr. Stark himself is not a Christian. He's a professed atheist. So he didn't have any vested interest, self-interest in this research. But what he found in the documented evidence shows that in the first few years after Christ's death and resurrection, there may have been a few thousand Christians in the world. But by the time of Emperor Constantine in the early 300s, historians say there were about 33 million. So the Roman Empire at that time, they say, was composed of about 60 million people. So he estimates that to reach those numbers, there must have been an average growth in the number of Christians by about 40% every year. 40% every 10 years. So every 10 years, the number of Christians increased by 10% until it reached that 33 million in the early 300s. And when you think of it, that's pretty amazing, because the first three centuries of the church, Christianity was illegal. Christians were persecuted and marginalized in society for their faith. Thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands, were killed simply for being Christian. There were no church buildings because it was illegal to build a church. So every time you went to Mass, the Mass was in somebody's home, and you were taking your life in your hand, quite literally, many times. And yet, during this time, Christianity grew enormously, 40% every 10 years. So why? Why this incredible growth? Well, Dr. Stark found from his research that it was through the witness of ordinary Christians, from one family member, one friend, one neighbor to another. And he found that these Christians, these first Christians, were the real deal. None of them were what we would maybe call nominal Christians, or Christian in name only, or Christians who only come to Mass, Christmas, and Easter. No, they didn't have the luxury of being so, because to be a Christian in those days meant that you were doing what was illegal in the Roman Empire. You were looked on with suspicion. There were certain jobs you could not have. You were treated as a second-class citizen, and during times of active persecution, your life was in danger. And so these Christians were the real deal. They really believed, and they really lived their faith, and they witnessed to one another, just from one person to another. And for example, he gave many examples, but the one example that I want to share with you this evening is that he found, Dr. Stark found in his records, that the early Christians really did live differently from the Roman society at the time. One example is whenever there was a major epidemic or a serious illness in a town or a city, that was a real challenge for people back then, because nobody knew what caused them. They didn't know about bacteria and viruses. They had no antibiotics. So whenever there was a major sickness that hit the area, healthy people would just leave. I mean, that was the only way they could contain the illness so it wouldn't spread. And the first people who would leave and move to another part of the country would be the doctor. and the doctors themselves wrote about that, because they knew what was coming. They knew they could not cure the people, and they knew the only option they had to contain the sickness so it would not spread was to leave the sick people behind. So doctors would move out of town with their families and would advise all other healthy people to do the same. And usually the next group that would leave would be the pagan priests, who were also the bankers at the time. And so and other healthy people would follow their example. So they would fill the house with food and water and then just leave the sick person behind. Mom, dad, spouses, kids, friends, neighbors who were healthy would leave the sick person at home and alone and behind. And Dr. Stark found that in historical documents that Christians would not do this. They stayed behind to care for their sick family members, and they would also take in and care for their sick neighbors and friends. And when they asked why they did this, why were they risking and sacrificing their lives for the sick, and even for people they did not know, the Christians would respond that it was due to their faith in Christ, because he taught them and said, "Love one another as I have loved you. Just as I have sacrificed myself for your well-being, so you are to love and sacrifice yourself and give yourself for the good of one another." And then he also said, "Whatever you do to the least of these brothers of mine and sisters of mine, that you do to me. And whatever you neglect to do to them, you also neglect to do to me." And so through their faith, their genuine faith, Christians in the first centuries had a strength and a courage, a charity and love, and a goodness and kindness that the rest of society did not have. And so this was tremendously attractive. Countless people who were taken care of by Christians in their time of need, if they recovered, well, would later then decide to become Christians themselves. After all, these were the people that really cared for them. They wanted to be like their Christian friends and to also have that faith which promises eternal life one day. And so those first Christians were really fulfilling what St. Paul said in today's first reading, where he's telling the people of Antioch. That's a city that was on the coast in what today is Turkey. And he's saying to them today, saying, "So the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have set you to be a light to the Gentiles, so that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." And these words of St. Paul apply to every one of us, every one of us who are baptized Christians, because we're called to follow Christ. And so he's also saying to us, "I have set you to be a light to the people, so that you may bring my salvation to others." God desires to use the example of our lives, our behavior, our actions, and our voices in order to bring others to faith in Christ. And so, of course, the first and the best disciple of Jesus and the first and best missionary for Jesus was, of course, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so let us ask her daily in our prayers to pray for us and gain for us those graces that those first Christians obviously had, to really live our faith with commitment, to dare to be different from the secular society around us, to be a people really known for our charity, goodness, courage, and integrity, and to really let the light of Christ shine through us. There are many, many others in the world who don't know Christ. They are still immersed in the ways of the world, which will lead them to emptiness. They are still in darkness. And so we are the ones that God wants to use to work through us, to call them out of their darkness into the light of Christ, so they can also live as beloved sons and daughters of God.